To the aftermath of last month's earthquake and tsunami now. Today, Sri Lanka raised its death toll from the tragedy by more than 7,000. It now stands at more than 38,000. For the country's survivors, life is slowly improving, though each day brings new challenges. Here's NPR's Philip Reeves.
They've lost homes and livelihoods, friends and family. There are many obstacles to negotiate if life's ever to return to anything like normal for these people and hundreds of thousands of others like them living in refugee centres after being displaced by the tsunami. But the immediate emergency is beginning to recede. Aid organisations say they're moving towards a new phase. Peter Bells, president of CARE USA.
There is the heroic rescue phase. You're talking about food and water and just the most basic necessity to stay alive and to stabilize people. This has gone extremely well.
Bell, who recently visited Sri Lanka and saw tsunami-affected areas for himself, says the next stage will be challenging.
As we go forward, the issues will become more complex. There will be issues about land tenure. There will be issues which may call for legislative changes and so on.
For example, people won't any longer be allowed to live right by the sea. The Sri Lankan government slapped a ban on a zone within 100 yards of the water. Phil Esmond of Oxfam.
If people had property within that zone, then they would be resettled in sites that are already being demarcated and, you know, there are architects and so on. And there would be temporary housing put up.
The catastrophe was so huge that at first the government and aid agencies seemed overwhelmed. But eventually, truck after truck laden with supplies was weaving across the island's roads, through potholes, flooding and jungles, where at night there's a risk of running into wild elephants. Robert Goh works for CARE in Sri Lanka.
The tsunami obviously devastated the coastal roads. Bridges became impassable. The road itself, the asphalt, became torn up. I think at this point there's been enough coordination with the Sri Lankan government and a lot of these infrastructural problems have been fixed.
Sri Lankans have gradually been drifting away from refugee centres set up for the multitude made homeless. Oxfam says the number in the centres was more than 800,000, but that's now dropped by about half. But providing shelter is still a major priority. Again, Peter Bell of CARE.
CARE will be engaged certainly in building what we call temporary shelter, that is going beyond tents, houses that have concrete floors, but are still probably an interim situation for most of the families who will be moving into them.
Esmond of Oxfam says the Sri Lankan government's ordered thousands of them.
Those tents are going to be used by people to go back onto the site where their house used to be so they can start rebuilding and to be onto their own property and make sure that's secure.
Trincomalee on the east coast, just one of many places which saw much of its fishing fleet wiped out. UN officials say 80% of the nation's fishing fleet may have been lost, quite apart from the damage to harbours and spin-off industries. The United Nations Development Programme says the UN's working on projects to help get the fishing industry back on its feet. A big drive's also planned by the government to revive the tourism industry, a key part of the economy. But there are larger issues upon which the success of Sri Lanka's recovery will depend. Corruption, inter-ethnic rivalry and red tape abound in Sri Lanka. Esmond of Oxfam says monitoring aid spending is going to be crucial.
There's a lot of money that is around, so it's going to be very, very important to have good processes for monitoring not just the flow of money and where it goes, but also the quality of how that money is spent.
International aid officials also say long-term success means tackling a fundamental problem, a problem which made so many Sri Lankans poor in the first place and therefore vulnerable. And that's the two-decade conflict between Tamil separatists and the government. The war's on hold, thanks to the 2002 ceasefire, but now, they say, is the moment to make real peace. Philip Reeves, NPR News.